to episode 12 of Guided by Grace, a Christian podcast by Sakira. Today's episode is called God's Grace Through Jesus. Grace and peace, you guys. Welcome to episode 12, the first episode of 2023. I am so excited to be back. I apologize for my absence. I truly miss connecting and sharing the word of God with you all. Discerning and listening to the voice of God is a staple of how I spent my time last year, and I've never been so aware and invested in my spiritual growth. Feels like 2022 was like a year of constant reminder that God is good, he's faithful, and he's gracious. He extended his almighty hand to those who love him and has put a fire in their bellies to press forward for his kingdom purposes. And I'm just so excited to be a part of it. I've been leaning on the word of God like never before, and let me tell you guys, I can see the fruit. Just learning the order of God and unlearning old patterns helped me become more conscious of my sin. So readjusting my mind to growth and applying it to my behaviors is helping me right now shape my character. But man, let me tell you, it requires discipline. I have to surrender like every day. I don't make moves unless God says so, you know? Like there are times when I feel like I cannot make it. But God, he is faithful, and it was his grace getting me through all of these tough times. So today's episode will wrap up last year in a smooth transition into this year's agenda. Now, although life for me has been amazing, as you guys know, I got married last year, praise God. I graduated from NCU this year, so excited, and so many other blessings. There was still this part of me, though, who didn't feel like confident in my walk with God or like unsure of my true heart because of sin. Like, I just felt ashamed to be blessed by the Lord because I know how faulty I am and I know all my sins. It was just really hard for me to just recognize that God sees all of that. The good, the bad, the ugly, he's there. But he still loved me and didn't draw away from me. And this is where the question comes. Do you really believe you've been saved by the grace of God? And for me, you know, and maybe you might feel the same, the answer is always yes. Like, yes, I believe, of course. But for me, there lingered a condemning spirit. Man, y'all, this is something that constantly bugs me. As I've been developing my faith, there's times where I just feel distant and away from God and lonely. And when I sin, I let the spirit of condemnation keep me from repentance and being freed from bondage. And I feel that because I have fallen short, I was unable to enter back into the presence of the Lord. And the devil is a liar. That's a dangerous thing to think, because the questions and doubts start to set in. How could he accept someone like me? You know, just feeling bad for yourself, and instead of coming to the throne of grace. You know, there was times where I was walking through the valley of shadows, and it was hard to believe a God so good could love a person so horrible, so unworthy, and how could I even be a part of him? But as I studied the Bible and studied the characteristics of God and who he is, I learned he accepts you just as you are. So in this episode today, we are headed in the direction of how to overcome that feeling of separation through the art of confession and obedience. And as you know, and if you don't know, now you know, our God is a God of order. Realizing that is key to our spiritual development. We cannot expect change in our life or blessings from God if we are not in order. We also know God does not change. So let's do some digging and see what the Bible says about the grace of God. Which brings us to our first scripture, you guys. Isaiah 6, 1 through 5. And it reads, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with 6 wings. With 2 they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.' At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. 'Woe to me,' I cried. 'I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." And so far the scriptures. This scripture means so much to me, and the value it holds is so true to how gracious our God is and how he takes us just as we are and cleanses us as long as we're willing to come. Like, how beautiful. Now, I can attest to this scripture because I was at a youth convention in Illinois and the worship was happening and the MC comes on and he explains how God is looking for those who are willing and not perfect. And I relate to Isaiah so much when he realizes he was in the presence of God and how sinful he truly was. He was scared because he knew God is of order and he was not in order. As we read, God cleanses his lips. I was there in Illinois at that convention for the work of God, and there was a moment there I felt unworthy. But in that time of submission with God, he showed so much grace, wisdom, and understanding just because I was willing. So I opened up to him and he pulled me so much closer. You guys, he loves us so much. And that leads me to my second scripture, Romans 5, 6 through 8. And it reads, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And so far, the scriptures. You guys, Christ died while we were still sinners. Amen. I mean, and honestly, for us, he died thousands of years before we even came to be, before the world even started. And I cannot think of anything more reassuring to know that the God I serve loves me when he shouldn't and didn't have to, but he did. And those of you who are listening and born again through Jesus Christ, you know how big of a deal and realization this is, because of the amount of sin and bondage we've been freed from is beyond belief. But if you're new to Christ, you have the choice today to clean your slate with God. He's calling you to give your life to him. So that might not be enough to convince you that Jesus loves you and has given you grace. And although I'm not here to convince you, I will remind you of a scripture that reassures our faith in Jesus and demonstrates the grace we are given through him. So let's run to St. John 13, 1 through 6. And it reads, "It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them till the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him." And so far, the scriptures. So in this passage, we have Jesus and the disciples. It's the Passover, and Jesus is coming to the end of his ministry before the crucifixion. So before we dive more into scripture, let's get a perspective of who Jesus is. So Jesus is the Son of God. Where? There in the beginning and the end. Knowing all things, the Father tells him, including dying on the cross. He still proceeds in God's will by coming to the earth in human flesh. Jesus knew about every betrayal and still endured and conquered death. So hold on to that. Write it down. We'll be back to dig deep into this subject. But first, let's go back and finish scripture reading through St. John 13, 7 through verse 38. And it reads, we're actually going to start at verse 6 and start at verse 6. And it reads, "He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, 'Lord, are you going to wash my feet?' Jesus replied, 'You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand.' 'No,' said Peter, 'you shall never wash my feet.' Jesus answered, 'Unless I wash you, you have no part of me.' 'Then, Lord,' Simon Peter replied, 'not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well.' Jesus answered, 'Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you.' For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." I am not referring to all of you. I know those I've chosen, but this is to fulfill this passage of Scripture. "He who shared my bread has turned against me." I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. Very truly I tell you, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. After he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, "Very truly I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." His disciples stared at one another, at a loss to know which one of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, "Ask which one he means." Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." Then, dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. So Jesus told him, "What you are about to do, do quickly." But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the festival, or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. And so far, the scripture. All right, so after reading those scriptures, let's just imagine being being the disciple Peter. So a faithful and zealous apostle of Jesus, one of the 12, and not Judas Iscariot, right? So you think with that, being chosen to walk by the side of the Messiah, you're set, right? You know, like Jesus mentions right before in the verse 36 that where he's going, he can't come yet, but he will later. Yes, like, cool. But imagine being human as we are, and Jesus, your Messiah, telling you that in the future, after you just said you'd give your life to him, like before the rooster crows, you'll deny him 3 times. Like, man, like, whew, reading that, like, even then, I would, like, right now, I'm, like, shook. Like, but no, right away, our flesh kicks in, you know, like, and we think, wow, whoa, I'm a failure, I'm a liar, I'm unclean. But guess who that is, you know? Guess who's telling you that? The enemy. Why? Because he's jealous. But why is he jealous? Why is he jealous of Peter? Because Peter had a promise from God that the devil will never have. You have a promise from God that the devil will never have, and that's eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen. So as you study on this chapter and the following chapters of the New Testament, God will unravel the understanding of Jesus's words to Peter. So if you were Peter in that moment, like, what would you do or what would you say? Like, what would you even think? Like, just think about that. But for me, I'm like, Peter could have given up his faith If Peter were to give up on himself, he would not have changed the lives of those we heard about in the beginning of this episode. And think about how many Christians now read the final words of Peter to ensure the continued work of the Church of Christ. Like, oh, amazing. I told you guys we come back, you know, to the endurance and the assurance of Jesus's faithful love for us. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about how he endured through everything, the hurt, the betrayal, the pain, the hunger, everything that we experience on a daily basis and more. He took on for us, and not just because we are sheep in need of a shepherd, but because he loves us, you guys. He loves us. He completed his task so that the order of God would be satisfied. And when he rose on the third day after the veil, the cloth that separates God from man was torn. We are worthy, you guys, to be in the presence of God and have his spirit dwell inside of us and with us. How comforting is that? And those were the things that the devil was putting, that could have put into your head to ensure that your promise would be taken away. So Jesus didn't redeem us to walk in the spirit of condemnation. And just so you know, there's some examples of condemnation. It comes in many forms because the enemy is clever. He will disguise condemnation in your everyday language. I'm not good enough. I'm ugly. I'm unwanted. Everything keeps getting taken away from me. It can come in the form of a defense to feel justified. You start judging yourself and or others. The feelings of guilt and shame are also attacks to keep us stagnant and unfruitful because we have not tended to our gardens. What do we read in Isaiah? The coal cleansed his lips and took away his guilt. Those feelings don't align with how God intended our confidence to be in him. I think this is very important. So let's just give an example. Boom. So here's our example. Let's say there's a wealthy man, right? So he earned his living from working the ground, truthful in all his ways. He had kids with his wife, you know, nice guy, right? Passed away. His family gets his money, divides it equally among the kids as the will states, but they all blow it on garbage. They didn't care that their father worked hard to grow and nourish his wealth. We can't waste the time that God has given us stuck in a cycle of condemnation. At some point, you need to wake up and realize that you're free. In our final scriptures, we will see what Jesus says to his disciples and how instead of condemnation, he gives us grace and comfort. So let's head to our last scriptures, St. John 14. And it reads, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him." And so far, the scriptures. A few things I want to point out before we dive in. Jesus is giving us a foreshadowing of our future with him. He's telling us where he's going, what he's doing, and how to get there. There's many rooms. There's hope for a better future. There's hope to get through today. Joy is in the morning. Abandon hopelessness. Let go of fear. Follow the Lord because he bore our burdens so we could be with him. Amen. We are given a new way to deal with old hurt, a new way to cast our cares on him because he loves us, and a new way to say, "God, like, I need you. Be there with me when no one else will." You guys, he's a man of his word, and he's never going to leave us nor forsake us. So as we hear his words today, let it be a sound that encourages you to draw near to him, even in your darkest hour, because he cares for you. He accepts you just as you are. So as we wrap up today, I want you to think on how God is good, how he set us free, and think about how when we apply these scriptures to ourselves, Jesus gives us the keys to overcome that feeling of separation from God. So through the art of confession and obedience, we can live a life of order with God, and we know his promises hold true. You don't have to live from the mistakes in the past or the pain from yesterday. We have a decision to choose Christ today and every single day. So next episode, we will talk about the power of God that renews us and how in him our weaknesses are made perfect. So I leave you with that, my friends. Next episode, we will talk about the power of God that renews us and how in him our weaknesses are made perfect. It's been a journey. I'm super blessed to be back as a voice and a light in this world. So I pray for your endurance, your strength, and your happiness as we go into this new season. In Jesus' name, amen.